Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. But Mr. Never Misses. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, I want to appreciate the worship team. For the first time, I think I saw Esther Mayani's song. Up there, we sang it. Who noticed that there was a song by our very own? Yes, hallelujah. Glory to God. And I know Bruce was behind that and making sure that everything goes on well. No. Please, Mr. Balo. Mr. Mayani Oyo. Yes. Yeah? Hallelujah. No, you cannot pull that off when you are alone. Yeah? Are there any first-time visitors, returning visitors? I see a gentleman there. I think I've taken the one next to Kwezi. It's been a while since I saw you here, but you're very welcome. Yes. Ah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mr. and Mrs. Balo, thank you for being a blessing to us with what happened yesterday with the marriage experience. I remember that prophecy very well that started. That prophecy didn't start it, but yes, along your journey, and I celebrate the fact that yesterday, something like I witnessed it. Glory to God. Amen. So, hallelujah, hallelujah. Geraldine, it's good to see you. It's been a while. Yes, but you're very welcome. Welcome back. And I'm glad that you are fine. Who else have I taken long without seeing? Who wasn't here the last time? Yeah. Ah, good. I think that covers it. Glory to God. You guys don't have any testimonies, eh? You guys. Oh, good Lord, good Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a mouthful. You don't have any, but you know I'm going to talk about temptation. So the temptation to say, guys, is still high, but we are tuliba wanguzi no kuchirawo. Amen? But when I think he really means in addressing people, really seriously in addressing people, don't say guys. When I say guys, sometimes it's tugatawe bigambo. But I'm not, it's not like I'm, you know. So anyway, last week we talked about who has been tempted last week. Like, who went through a temptation last week? Muganyo testifying. So let us talk about anyone who has gone through any temptation. Last week, you are clear? Rachel is actually looking like her. I think I wasn't tempted. Either temptation is so much part of our lives that even when it happens, we don't even know that we are being what? We are being tempted. Like, bully daily, yeah? So you actually, Rachel was looking in the air, have I been tempted? Yet it could even be that even as she was coming here, there was a temptation on the road. But you see, this goes to show that temptation, like what we said last time, it is part and parcel of our lives. Amen? Temptation is part and parcel of our lives. And you know what? It's good that we are talking about this today. When we were in the car, usually for me, those are the conversations that really start me off. When we're in the car, one of my children asked, do people who do this work get a lot of money? Because for me, that is why I am in school. I am in school to study. And after I finished studying, I go and work and get a lot of money. Isn't that the whole point? Then another child interjected and said, but no, that cannot be. Money is not everything. Then the other one said, but that is the whole point. For me, I want money. I honestly want money. Then the other one said, those are the things that mommy was talking about last Sunday, the desire for money, too much like that. So I was shocked that actually that lesson sank, for at least for some people in my household. Glory to God. But it's okay for that child to want to get money. Glory to God. It is very fine. It is very, very fine. What is not okay is the love of money. But it is okay to have a desire for money because we need money to live in this world. We are here. If we didn't have money in LAT, we wouldn't be here. The lights would be off. I wouldn't have a microphone. Kwegamba. So money is really necessary, and we have to desire it. But the love of money, that thing that causes you to pierce yourself with so much, you know, pierce yourself. The Bible says you pierce yourself, you aggrieve your body with so much pain so you can get the money. Yeah? That is not right. Anyway, so last week we talked about temptation and we agreed, and from what you have, from the experience this morning, we all agree that last week, we all had, at a certain point, if it is not this morning, we all had a magnetic pull towards evil and wickedness or sin. We were challenged in our faith. That really goes without saying. Our guiding scripture was 1 John 2:15 to 16, which helped us to classify how the temptations look like. It says, to 16, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Yeah. So 16, the verse 16 guided us to see how these temptations come. And also, for parallels, we use the experience of Adam and Eve vis-a-vis the one of Jesus Christ. That one was tempted and failed, another one was tempted and triumphed. And then we closed by saying that Jesus Christ is actually the model to follow if we are to triumph over temptation. Then we talked about the lust of the eyes as to, when we were defining it, we talked about the lust of the eyes as the sinful desire for the things that really appeal to the eyes. This is where the Bible tells us, thou shalt not covet. You know, you cannot covet something that you have not seen. It has to go through the what? The eyes. I hear some people saying that the eyes are the windows of the spirit. And so it's very, very important what our eyes see. And also Jesus was taken up to a high mountain to see a kingdom. Eve was shown a fruit. She had to look at it for it to be appealing. Then we also talked about the lust of the flesh, which is the bodily desires that cause you to sin. And I remember making a case and saying, do not underestimate the power of the fleshly desires. These bodies of ours, let me tell you, if you don't crucify it, you're finished. Yeah? So, and I gave an example of how the Bible tells us that gluttony is what? Is a sin. It's, you desire food, it's okay, but when it takes over you and controls you, and you become, by the way, there are people who can eat a lot and they are not fat. It doesn't mean that they are not what? They are not gluttons, banange, yeah? Size kidogo ndogo, yeah? Like, I don't know. Yes. What are you saying? Don't point to your friend. So, yes, there are people who actually, and I've seen that they could have a very high metabolism, yeah? Personally, I wish I had a very high metabolism. Mine is so slow. I'm like when I eat something, it will stay there for days and days. It is just slow. But I know there are some people who make it. They will eat, yeah. They will eat, and you know, and soon after that, eat, and it seems like that tummy is an abyss. But that is how God made them. By they mean that if they have a high metabolism rate, that they are gluttons. No, even you with a slow one, by the way, you can be a what? A glutton. Either way, it is sin. Then we also talked about the pride of life. Those are things that give us an illusion of being like God. And we get this, the pride of life, from usually our achievements, material things, our achievements, our names, our reputation. It reminds me actually of the time, I didn't give this example last Sunday, but I remember the time when Coke used to release Coke, the drink, the soda, yeah? They used to release their bottles with names, and then they would put like two names, like say Joan and Sam, yeah? Or they would put Joan, then they put Sam. So one of those days, I remember moving. I don't even know how that happened. I was around Mulago, you know, that roundabout now towards Wandegea. And then there was a very, very big signpost of two Coke bottles. One was Joan, another one was Sam. You guys, I felt important. I just felt so, what are the odds? Joan and Sam, they were there. Like, and the billboard was so, so big. I remember feeling like, oh my goodness. And I'm like, now imagine I'm to campaign for what? For like MP, you guys, I'd finish you. From the airport, I'll be like Museveni, yeah? I'll be like His Excellency. From the airport, you'd find my... So anyway, pride of life, yeah? And that is very, very important. And Jesus was tempted to actually prove he was already the Messiah. He knew that, but he had, you know, that pride of... The challenge came to him of, but if you are the Son of God, you can throw yourself down. You can worship me. You see, anyway, temptation is serious. Glory to God. And anyway, we concluded by saying in Hebrews 4:15 that we do not have a high priest who is not able to sympathize with our weaknesses, but who was tempted as we are, but was yet without what? He was yet without sin. Hallelujah. Jesus was tempted and was without sin. If you're intentional about this thing of temptation, you're going to see it. Now, from the time when I preached last Sunday to now, I have been very, you know, like very conscious of what is coming my way. Maybe when I'm driving, the thoughts that I'm entertaining, are they thoughts that are good? Are they thoughts that are leading me somewhere? Are they tempting? And I just could not count. From the time I left home in traffic, then when I reached where I was going yesterday, then whatever happened yesterday, God tells us if there is any boasting that we have to do it in Him. And if you know what God has done for you, honest, and you really, really value what God has done for you, there is no way you stand in front of people with all those airs. So anyway, today we're talking about triumphing over temptation. It's just a continuation of what we shared last week. Triumphing over temptation is really not a nuclear science, by the way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We already have a SCAD. Yeah? And we already have someone who has shown that you can actually triumph over temptation. Okay? But before we really understand what triumphing over temptation is, we have to understand a few things. The very first thing you have to get to that place and you seal it in your heart is that God never tempts His children. God never tempts anyone. Hallelujah. God never tempts anyone. God never tempts anybody. Hallelujah. It is us. And I'm going to show us why and how. James 1:13-15. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Glory to God. So, James here is telling us that God never tempts anyone. And if you remember what what God told Adam and Eve when he was giving them the instructions in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 2:16. He said that if you eat of that tree, yeah, and God commanded a man saying, of every tree you may freely eat, go on, 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now when we go to James, we also find that he says that when sin has fully borne whatever it's bearing, it will lead you to what? To death. To death. Okay? So, of course, now we know that it is not a what? A physical death. Because there is nowhere in the Bible, like even in normal life, where sin has actually, you go, you steal and catch her, you die immediately. No, it doesn't happen that way. You gossip about someone, you do something wrong, and then you die immediately. Some people will die immediately. But many times, it is not that death, that physical death. It is the death of that. It's the severing between you and God that will happen at that point of sin. Hallelujah. Your fellowship with God will be messed with. So here we know that first and foremost, God does not tempt us. But God will actually test us. There is a very big difference, ladies and gentlemen, that God does not tempt, but he can test us. The tests of God produce perseverance, they produce faith, they bring you closer to God. They bring you, give you more, they cause you to have more devotion to God. While, on the other hand, temptation can actually lead you to sin. But it is also possible that during your test, you can actually be tempted during the test. You can be tempted and that will lead you to sin. But you know, the what is clear is God never tempts us. I'm going to take us to Matthew 4:1. I have just said that God never tempts us. But let's look at this. Very, very interesting things in the Bible. Yes, it's Matthew 4:1. Okay. Then Jesus, this is at the beginning of the temptations of Jesus, yeah? Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. But here I am telling us that God does not tempt us. But here we see that Jesus is led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted. So which is which? This is what it really means. That actually God can lead you. If he led his son into the wilderness to be tempted for a higher purpose, God can lead you in the presence of temptation, but God will not do the tempting. Does that make sense? God will not do the tempting, but he can lead you in the presence of temptation. He can lead you there. All right? Just like the way it was for Jesus. But did you see God coming to tempt Jesus in the wilderness? Who had the conversation with Jesus? The Bible is clear. It was the what? The devil. But Jesus was actually led there by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I hope that is clear for Nkwanzi and company. That is very clear. That God doesn't do the tempting, but he can lead you in the presence of temptation. Matthew 6:13. Yes. It's when in the Lord's Prayer, we are told, this is how to pray. You know what goes on before? And then we are told, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Do not lead us into temptation. So when you take this verse and you see what happened to Jesus and what James said, it seems like actually God can lead you in the presence of temptation, but he will not tempt you. He will not do the tempting. Uncomfortable, right? Right? Sam is there saying, let me tell you why God will not do the tempting. Yeah, today we are cleaning up our houses so that this thing of temptation, tuchikwate, tuchitegere, tweyambe. 1 John 1:5. Yeah. For this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. You know, God cannot tempt you because he has to use evil, and that means that evil has to reside in him. But there is no evil in God. It's akin to saying that Joan, Mr. and Mrs. Isoke, but you know Mr. and Mrs. Isoke, they are Ugandans. We are Ugandans. Yeah. Then you hear that we have a biological child who is what? Who is Chinese. We don't have that DNA. Cannot happen. Cannot. If that happened, you'd say, but brother and sister, what's going on? But that is the same thing. For God to tempt you, he'd have to have evil in him. That is why all temptations really come from the devil. So that means that he has to have evil in him to come and what? And now start on you. Kati now, you know, Lydia, this God does not have evil in him. Habakkuk 1:13 again talks about how God is not this concerning God. It says, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil. This is God who gets repulsed by just beholding or hearing evil. So now how is it that the same God will conjure up an evil thing to come and what? And tempt you. For you are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and you cannot look on wickedness. God cannot look what? On, I just wanted the first part. God cannot look on wickedness. He does not have it in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we are tempted, it is not God. But he can lead us. He can lead us. In our when I was looking through and really reading through the strong concordances, trying to find out what do not lead us into temptation, what that means. It actually means, can mean temptation, what, temptation to sin or trials and affliction. Yeah? So, when we let us settle it before we talk about triumphing, because now the rest is a walkover. Banange, please, please, please do not say that God has tempted you. You can say you were led there. But let me tell you something. 1 Corinthians 10:13. When we are led into temptation, and this is why, again, I'm making a case that you can actually be led into temptation. No temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, if God was tempting us, then why would God now provide a way of escape? So I want us to think about whatever temptation we have failed in the past, let me tell you, there was a way out of that temptation. Even when you felt Charlie Chikambwe, no, and you, I just want you to think about a particular temptation. It could have been a temptation to get angry, a temptation to abuse someone, to, I don't know, whatever temptation it is, and you fell into it, yeah? I want you to remember, even if in that moment it felt like there was no way out, actually, there was a way out. Why? Because the Bible says so. Glory to God. The Bible says so. Yeah? So there was a way. There was a way. And even for the next one that will come after service, there was going to be a way. Glory to God. Even the one for Monday, there's going to be a what? A way. So whether you failed and, you know, you've ended up sinning, please just know that there was a way. And also, in as much as the temptation was so ferocious, it was not one that could overwhelm you. Glory to God. There are two things in that scripture. That there is a way out of the temptation. But also, God cannot allow you to be tempted beyond what you can manage. So even when you fail, just remember that in you was the ability to actually handle the temptation. Glory to God. That is why now, like for me, I think God is like, Gwebia fame and popularity, katubiwa balala. Because he knows maybe that will be the end of Joe. And I don't know, yeah? But there are some temptations that people tell you they go through. And you're like, oh my God. Oh my God. What could I have done? There are things that my husband sometimes shares with me. I think in one particular case, let me tell you this one. It was really interesting. Someone came to his office, wanted him to sign something with some good dollars in an envelope. Some good dollars in what? In an envelope. Live. He said, sir, just tuiteo. Just tuiteo. Just append your signature. Sam said he didn't even look at that. He could see that the envelope had money. And you see, there is a difference. When there are dollars in a white envelope, you can see. Also, when there are shillings in a white envelope, you can tell. Because dollars are thinner, yeah? So Sam said he didn't even open the envelope. And he said, that day, he came home and he said, I've just come to sleep. He said, I have decided, let me just sleep. And I'm thinking, what could I have done, me, Joanne? Like, you do not know, you don't know how you would react if you are given another person's temptation. But the way I felt in that moment, I was like, no wonder this one went to Sam. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why are you laughing? Why are you in my heart? What have I said? Yeah? There is even someone, a Christian, who said that for him, he knows that he is not in jail just because he hasn't been exposed to a certain amount of money. You remember our friend said, for me, Nzenziba. And he even actually swore. He swore in the Lord's name and said, for me, if that money came to me, let me just be honest to you, I will steal it. I will steal it. But that day, Sam came home and he just slept. He said, Joanne. Let me first sleep. Let me sleep. Let me sleep this one off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So for you to triumph over temptation, first kill it. Kill the temptation before it kills you. Then take a walk or just go and sleep. Glory to God. It works. It works because there are some things, some thoughts you don't want to keep what? Entertaining. Hallelujah. Yes, temptation is there at every point. Glory to God. There are those temptations that you have and you're like, how did this even come to me? I think I shared with you that last week. There are some temptations that would come. I thought I was above some of those things. But let me tell you something about the devil. He'll throw at you all the fodder he can. Everything. Everything. He will throw it at you. That is that, you know, like like someone said, vaku muntu akera kumacha, na tandika to think about how to wakufuna. That person, that is the devil's mandate. Wakes up in the morning, thinks about how to grab you, or take a mutano like this. So that means that on some days, he's going to throw at you things that even you yourself, you'll be surprised with. You're like, me? A whole pastor? Me? Me, Joanne? A whole what? A whole pastor. Then as I'm there saying, me, Joanne, a whole pastor, then I'm reminded, my friend, even Jesus was told to turn bread into what? A whole Jesus was told to turn stones into bread. A whole what? Jesus. Let me tell you something. Now, this is the equalizing part. We all go through the temptations. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And because of that, it keeps you humble. Hallelujah. Temptations, tests, and trials. That is the recipe for humility. If you do not, like, that is how we work with God in this salvation. To keep what? To keep humble. Then sometimes you hear, when someone, now you see, Sam refused that money, which was way more than what I took back. But maybe also me at the back of my mind, I knew Some will come home with an envelope one day. But now imagine for some, he can't say that someone is going to come home with what? With an envelope. He's the man. The envelope, he has to come with it. Okay? So now, sometimes you're thinking, Sam took that money. Then now one day Sam goes and hears that a friend of his who didn't manage to make, a Christian, didn't manage to make it past that temptation. Now what, you know, that's when you realize that Sam escaped, the other one didn't. Sam listened to God and the other one didn't. But also him, there are days when he has fallen into his own temptation. So there is a way in which someone may tell you what they are struggling with, and you remember that you also once struggled with that thing. Yeah. You will also remember that you once struggled with anger. You know? You once had a very bad tongue. All those, by the way, they come before we sin, they come as temptations, first and foremost. So when someone is telling you, oh, you know, this is my struggle, don't get on a high horse. Unless really, there is no reason for you to get on a high horse. You can be stern with them. You can say, no, my brother, my sister, you cannot keep doing this. This is not who God made you to be. But that whole thing of you feeling like you are more special than others. You know, yesterday when I was listening to what the Balos were saying, and also from my experience in the marriage fellowship that we have here in LAT, when you listen to the things that people go through, and maybe they are 5, 7 years into marriage, 10, you're like, but we went through the same. So when they are telling you their things, it is not that thing of, you're like, okay, if you didn't go through the exact same thing, there is something that you went through that for them they are not going through. Yesterday I had things that even made my ears tingle. Men were told to get calendars. I'm like, chichi. I thank God, by the way, you people, before you even talked about, I think it was Annette who said, but what were our parents using? Christine, I don't know. You know, you're like, for me, these things, I got married in a time where there was no smartphone. So apps were not a thing. Apps were not there. We didn't have a smartphone. And guess what? Between me and Sam, only one of us had a phone. And it was not me. So, ebebi okungamba app. Those things were very what? I was like, what is going on here? My eyes, what is this I'm hearing? So, when we go through diverse temptations and someone comes and shares with you, brothers and sisters, let us what? Cover them. Tomulalasa, and also don't. That is just a side note. Now, how to triumph over temptation. Now, for real. The first one is, of course, because I love prayer, I'll tell you, pray about it. I've said Matthew 6:13. You can pray and ask God, please, do not give that one to me. And God, by the way, he listens. Don't give that one to me. Don't. Just do not give that one to me. And God will actually not take you in the presence of that temptation. But as sure as the Lord liveth, another one will come. But you can pray that God lead me not into temptation. And should you lead me there, protect me from the evil one. Hallelujah. That sounds very simple. Amen. Matthew 26:41. And by the way, concerning prayer, as is put in the scripture up, you can ask people to pray for you. This is what we are here for. It's a hospital, right? You can ask people to pray with you if you're struggling in a particular area. And people will bear you up. Hallelujah. But also, let us be careful that people that we ask to stand with us. You know, God is very interesting. Did you know that God really does not like to expose his children's weaknesses? The loving father that he is, the nature of God is that if it was about exposure that will bring change, then he would say, expose that brethren. But you know, exposure, for him to allow you to be exposed, it is only after correction has refused. Then actually, your sin shall expose you. He didn't even have to do anything. But God doesn't really, concerning how we live with people, with our fellow brethren, do not expose another person's weakness. I had a dream not long ago where this came up very clearly and God was giving me an instruction and some people to pray for someone in church who was struggling with something. And in the dream, it became very clear that God doesn't want exposure. Hallelujah. And so it is the same for us. And just imagine, you shared with someone that I'm struggling with this thing, and someone goes, Anatandika, you become everyone's prayer request. God doesn't want that. Okay? So Matthew 26 says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. So this verse gives us the permission to actually pray. To pray about temptation, that we may not actually, it doesn't overtake us, yeah? And the second thing is how to triumph. Prayer, I don't even want to dwell there because I know, I know that we all know that one. The second thing is that we have to learn to recognize what that lust is, what that desire is. Remember, James told us that God doesn't tempt us. What tempts us? Our own desires that we conceive. So it is important for us to actually, when you're struggling, and these are things that maybe you're not sharing with anyone right here, but there is something that you're struggling with. And this is what I'll tell you if you're struggling with a particular temptation. Have a moment, sit with yourself, and know what are your triggers. What that desire, please put the James verse up. That desire that leads you away from God. What is it? What is that thing? Yeah? Here, 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and is enticed. So what is that desire of yours which is enticing you? Just sit with yourself and be honest without blaming anyone. Just sit and be honest and say, okay, you know what? This is, without over-spiritualizing things, this is my weak spot. This is my weak spot. Okay? And when you find that out, the Bible says we should guard our hearts. Do everything you can. As sometimes when you're fighting temptation, you have to be on the defense. Glory to God. So if it means, you know that there is a scripture, Matthew 5:29, when Jesus was telling the disciples that if a body part is causing you to sin, cut it off, sever it. As in, sometimes you have to be that drastic. Please put it up there. Sometimes you have to be that drastic. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for all your whole body to be cast into what? Into hell. Okay? Now, he's not saying that we should cut ourselves or mutilate ourselves. No. He's just saying that concerning sin, concerning temptation, you must be drastic. Glory to God. Concerning sin, if you want to triumph, you've got to be drastic. A time comes when you take ownership and you say, you know what, from today onwards, if passing here, the Bible tells us not to take the path of scoffers and sinners. So if you know that if passing here is going to cause me to sin, then don't pass there. Sometimes drastic, for us to be drastic, it means we have to sever the body part. That thing could be a person, a relationship, a friendship. Sometimes it is a program, a TV program. Yeah? Some people are saying, boss, no. I don't know about the boss. But you understand what I'm saying. So you have to keep away. Sometimes it's materials that we read. So if you know that a certain thing is causing you, you must be drastic. Now, one of the other temptations that, for me personally, I struggle with is the temptation to be discouraged. Yeah? Especially concerning the promises of God that have taken long. Sometimes I can be there and I'm like, eh! Then I start to kubusa busa. Then I'm like, ah, now what? Yeah? And there is that temptation. It's very, very big for me. It's very big. But you know, I've had to be very drastic. Some of the things that I do, you will not believe. I'll be like a mad person. I'll get the promise, put it on my phone about what, just even preach to myself, go back and re-listen. And even as I'm like driving in the car, I'm actually, sometimes because I don't really like music in the car, I drive with, most of the time there is no music, right? And there's nothing in the car. So I'm there in Nebulirira Njiri. I'm there just preaching to myself. Oh, I'm there and I'm audible. I want to be, because I'm like just, but sometimes I feel like the negative thoughts are too many. So I have to drown them out. So I go verbal. Yeah. So I'm speaking. Yeah. So anyway, do whatever you have to do. It could be drastic. But please, do it. Better for you not to have like some of those things. Okay, you're not going out with your friends, you're not communicating with some people. It's okay. It is better for you to be alone than be with bad company that is going to cause you to sin. When we got born again, we had to leave behind. There was a severance that happened in our lives. You have to leave behind a certain lifestyle. Yeah, and that also means friends. Now there are some people who are so drastic that they are like, even those relatives, they even just cut them out. If this one just messes me up, they cut out. Yeah, because they are trying, they are really trying to live in this new lifestyle. Yeah, so anyway, 2 Corinthians 2:11. Yeah, leave it there. Another thing that when we talk about sitting with yourself and knowing what that desire is, also the Bible tells us that we should not be ignorant of the devil's what? Schemes, yeah? Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. It helps to know. After knowing what your weak spot is, what your desire is, how does the devil work with this thing? It's very, very important. And that is why I talked about that sometimes salvation, you have to be on the defense. If it means you have to be, don't make it your daily pursuit to know what the devil is doing, how he's doing it. You should know more about God, actually, than the devil. But also, do not be ignorant of how the devil works. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't be ignorant of how the devil works. And let me tell you something. It's very helpful, even when you talk to other people. They will tell you, that Kawan, me, I went through it. Do you know how I was grabbed? Like this. Ah! Then when you hear the other person was got like that, and especially children and young adults, there are things that your parents will tell you that they cannot even tell their friends. But for you, they will tell you because they don't want you to end up in what? Yes. And that is the beautiful thing between child and parent. There are some things I cannot say here on the pulpit, but I will sit my children down and tell them, you people, if you go that direction, you're finished. So, and this is how, when I did that, this is where I ended. So you try it and you see. So it helps children to know and ask, yeah? Ask these adults here. Like I've told you, everyone goes through temptation. So you can ask. Eden, you can ask your dad, yeah? What temptation have you gone through? And get him at the point when Arsenal has lost. There. Hey, when Arsenal has lost, just ask. You'll get all the answers. He'll say, you know what? When it has lost wawecha and nothing is, you're not guarding yourself against anything. You're like, whatever, yeah? But when Arsenal has won, the guards are push temptation. Which one? Me? Mama pastor. How? For me, I don't know those things. But you get them at that point. They will tell you the stories. Hallelujah. Amen? Yes, so we need to know how the devil works. You need to know how the devil has worked on you before. And if you know that there is someone who has struggled, sometimes you know, ask them. They will tell you how they were grabbed. Hallelujah. And you will not go through that. You don't have to go through it. Amen? Hallelujah. So, yes, that is about recognizing temptation, know what your desire is, be drastic about it, and be unapologetic. And by the way, obuliomokweyamba. If your friend tells you that for me, don't do this, don't take me there, don't try and force them and play spiritual psychology on them. So, but you can pray and fast. And they're like, me, I know myself. I know where my weakness is. But you see, yes, the other man of God, for him, he did this. I'm not that man of God. I'm not that woman of God. I know what my weakness is. So let us, when someone tells you that for me, I don't want this because it leads me down a certain road, back off and help them. Glory to God. Just back off. Don't start saying, you see, you can just go there. If, for example, if someone has struggled, probably like, let me give an example of drinking or going into the discotheque. Don't take them there and you start telling them, same, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, for you, it can work. For the person, it may not be able to work. And you have to really be able to understand some of these things. And don't look down on them like they are weak. Yeah? That kawanuko kakuka, that guy just do like this and he's flipping. No, please, let us help each other, okay? If you can go there and you say, get thee behind me, Satan, nebi kolera, don't drag someone else along, especially. And the Bible tells us that should you cause one of these little ones to sin, do not be the reason temptation comes to another person. Because the Bible says that the people who do those things, Jesus said it's better to tie a stone around their what? Their necks and cast them away into I think it was water or something. Yeah? So let us, it's like you, if you know your child's weakness. If you know your child's weakness, like I remember when the children are telling them about temptation and they asked me if I lick sugar, if I've ever been tempted to lick sugar, then I'm like, no, maybe when I was younger, they're like, hey, but Auntie Joan, it is so tempting to lick sugar. And I'm like, but they're like, even when you lick, you can swallow it and nobody will know, yeah? But you know, I have been there and I know that it's actually not true that nobody will know. Because they'll find when the sugar has what? It has reduced. Or you'll find when in the process, some sugar even poured. So it is not true. It is not true. Yeah? So anyway, so if someone tells you, for me, I don't want to see sugar lying around here. Yeah? Don't say, na yegwe na wo tulemesa, kakati olwo. Now, ladies, the way we dress, hey, Rubani, isn't he spiritual? He's in charge of his own. No. Yeah? We have to help each other. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You have to help each other. For me, I came here. What? I can dress the way I want. Hey, salvation is a personal thing. I'm not in charge of his soul and spirit, my friend. Those things are not what? They're not good. And I know that we do them. But yeah. Number three, use scripture. Use scripture to triumph over temptation. It says Ephesians 6:17, the word of God is the sword of the spirit. Hallelujah. The word of God is the sword of the spirit. And it's the one that we should use. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Please give me 18. Yes, but the sword of the spirit is the word of God. And with this sword, we are able to cut. Yeah? I remember going for a, for a, a conference where we're told, hold the spirit, hold the sword of the spirit, we'll do like this. Then cut the devil. But and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer supplication. Yes. But anyway, here the point is, the word of God is the sword of the spirit by which we cut through all those lies that come to us. Hallelujah. So, and unlike in this conference where they told us, hold an imaginary sword. Tema, cut. It doesn't work like that. That is not how the word works. That you saw the word in your heart. And when you are faced with these challenges, you speak forth the word. It has nothing to do with physical actions. You're not cutting anything, yeah? Because the sword of the spirit is not something physical. It's the word of God. So anyway, with using the scripture, we see that our Lord Jesus Christ also used the scripture. Let's go to Genesis 2, 16 to 17. Let us look at the instruction which was given to Adam and Eve. Then we shall look at the exchange between Eve and the serpent. Then we shall look at the exchange between God and the devil. Yeah? So here it says, and the Lord commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. For every tree you may what? Freely eat. And then he says, please, let's keep this at the back of our minds. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. So he starts by giving them food, something positive. Mulie, I've laid before you a buffet. Eat everything you want. But the other particular thing, don't what? Don't touch it. Isn't that the instruction? It is very clear. Now let us see the exchange between the devil and Eve. Genesis 3:1-4. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, listen to how the scripture gets twisted here. It says, you shall not eat of every tree of the... Was this the instruction? No, it actually was not. But you know, people, we gloss over this, yeah? It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? They had been told that they can eat of every tree. Satan now comes and says, you shall not eat of every tree. He twists the word of God. And you see, then the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor touch it, lest you die. Again, even the woman, the instruction is not right. Because she was not told, where did we read? There was nowhere where God said, you will not touch the tree. It wasn't there. But now she's here telling the serpent, you shall not eat it, nor touch it. Yeah? And then here it says that we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, verses 3. Okumanya, the lady, didn't even know, because the instruction in it was being given. God clearly named that tree. It was named. It was the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. Not just any tree in the middle of the garden. What is middle of the garden? Yeah? So now, madam here is having this exchange, and she's saying, of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. So you see, the word gets what? Twisted. And now this brings me to the point of, you know how many people have used this to say women are gullible? Because she says something totally different from the instruction which was given. But today we are going to iron those things out. We are not gullible. Hallelujah. Women are not gullible on this account. Let me tell you why. Because even she was not there when the instruction was being given. And every time you hear things second hand, you know what can happen. Information can be what? So I do not want to speculate, but for some people to use this, I remember actually my brother pulled this car one on me. Yeah? But na hey, you chicks, eh? Chicks are gullible, you saw even Eve. First of all, she ate the fruit. Number two, she didn't even, he splashed this thing for me. I haven't just known it now. He's the one who taught me, by the way, that part. Then I said, but no, she was not there when he was being given the instruction. Adam. That's why she even says, if he had told her, probably now this is speculating, if he had told her that that tree is called the tree of the knowledge of good, and she would have maybe said it to the devil. But anyway, so we see that the word of God, when the enemy comes to us, he will come and twist the word of God. And you know what? He will not tell you. Let's go on and we see how he, verses 4. And then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Can you imagine the devil saying that God lied? He's saying that disobedience is actually okay. You will not die. And this is what the devil comes and he tells us that, you know, Bruce, to jokufa. Same script. Hasn't the enemy ever told you when he's tempting you? Hasn't he ever used that same line? Geraldine, you won't die. You won't die. How many people have died for doing that? How many? You won't die. But you call Olabe. Take the money. You won't die. Same script. In other words, he's telling you that disobeying God is actually fine. Now, there are sometimes when, let me talk about how sometimes we are tempted to walk out of the will of God. Now, that is even more tragic, which is not, it is not sin. Yeah, I'm not talking about the normal things of sinning. You've done this, done this, done this. God has told you to do something. You start doing it. Then along the way, things get difficult. Then the devil comes and says, Joan, Biveko, will you die? Will you be the first person to abandon that mission? Let me tell you. Then they even give you statistics. You see Jane. Jane abandoned sheep and she's now even happy. She's actually happy. So he is lying to her that she will not die. But God said, you will die. You will die. So now when things get hard, you're like, Owang, let me what? Let me just chill this thing. But you know, like I told you about temptation with discouragement for me, I have had many things, many of those, you will not die. There are very many. Monday, John, you will not die. Tuesday, to Jakufath. Because also he knows that when he tells you that the ultimate, which is death, was not going to happen, you will then relax. You're like, if the worst, which is dying, is not going to happen, he will come and tell you, you know what? Rubani, you won't be caught. You won't be busted. You are alone. You will not be busted. Nobody is going to know. Nobody will know. Nobody will what? Will know. Just do it. But you see, that's not right. So now we have seen that now the devil gets the word of God, twists it. Let us see the devil's exchange with Jesus. That is in Luke 4. Yeah? In Luke 4, when he tells Jesus to, I've lost my train of thought. In Luke 4, because I'm thinking about something else. In Luke 4, when he tells Jesus to cast himself down, I think Luke 4, 9 or 6. It is, no. Anyway. So in the we see that in the exchange, in the book of Luke, the exchange between the devil and Jesus is such that he tells Jesus, he takes him up to a very high place, and he tells him to throw himself down, that the Lord, his Father, will send angels concerning him. He seemingly is quoting the scripture from Psalm 91. Yeah, but then he forgets, he doesn't really quote the whole thing. He forgets that actually the other verses that go on, this scripture, Psalm 91, was in the context of the people who dwell, or the person who is dwelling in the presence of God. So now Jesus is dwelling in the presence of God, and now this devil comes and tells him, cast yourself down, that God will bear, that is not right. That means that Jesus will have gotten out of the presence of God. And also when you read on, it goes on like in 13, 15, 16, 17, it goes on to say, and you shall tread on the cobra and the serpent and the lion. The devil leaves this part out of being treaded upon. Just tells him like a very small what? Portion of scripture. So my point is, the Bible has told us, according to Ephesians 6, 17, that the word of God is a sword of the Spirit. And when we use this word, it will actually set us free. Jesus, in all his temptations, quoted the scripture. Glory to God. Jesus quoted the scripture. He said, it is written. So this behooves us to actually know the scriptures ourselves. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And lastly, let us know and take the way of escape that God has provided. That the 1 Corinthians 10:13, he said, we're not going to be allowed to be tempted more than what we can handle. But in the event that we are tempted, or when we are tempted, God is going to provide a way out. Always take the way out. Amen. Make it your prayer that God, whenever I am tempted, when I'm led in the presence of temptation, help me to take the way out of this temptation. Hallelujah. So, very briefly, just to go through what the main ways to triumph: prayer, then recognize what your desire is, know the wiles of the enemy, the devices of the enemy, and play defense. Be drastic if you have to. Number three, use the scriptures and get to know your scripture right. Then lastly, take the way of escape. There is always a way to escape temptation. Hallelujah. Just ask God what that is, and he's going to show it to you, and ask him for grace to do what he tells you to do. Amen? Hallelujah. God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.